It's the Dort Podcast. It's the Dort Podcast.
Rich Keith.
It's the Dort Podcast.
Hashtag.
It's the hashtag Dort Podcast.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Hashtag Dork. My name is Rich Keefe, joined as always by Ryan Davey. Davey, how are you?
I'm having a wonderful night, Richard, despite all the snow and the generators kicking on and off where I am.
I'll tell you, it's really coming down out there. Am I right?
Yeah, you are right. How about this weather, huh?
Oh, man, it's full. We're full of it. We are absolutely...
I'm going to punch myself in the face. Nah, the worst.
Yeah, well...
Yeah.
It is a topic of conversation. You know what also is a topic of conversation? Dork Madness 3, Ryan. People
Dork Madness 3.
Are loving the third annual Dork Madness. And what it is best TV show. And we've gotten a lot of feedback already. So give me, how about this? Give me a, and by the way, voting is going on all month at Dork Podcast on Twitter. If you don't have Twitter, I apologize. It's the only way that we're doing it. So give me a one-word review for all of the snubs that people have sent in, okay?
Please.
No. I'm gonna go show by show, but that makes
sense. That's my one word review for all of them.
Do you not want me to go through? I have five.
We'll do it. We'll do
it. Okay. All right. Let's just do this. Dexter.
Absolutely not. No way. Should that make anything?
24.
Eh.
Entourage.
No.
X-Men, the animated series.
There's a point there. These are supposed to be one word, right?
Yeah, you haven't done a great job with that.
All right, I'll start it. Given.
And Silicon Valley.
Young.
Yeah, that one I could see. That I think there's a good argument for Silicon Valley because there's a whole HBO region, and that's probably one of the 16 best HBO shows, but whatever.
Is it, though? I mean,
yeah, maybe
like
it's
not. You have to. You go back to the beginning. What was the first like HBO show? Was it Oz?
I think it was Fraggles.
Oh, the Fraggle Rock. You're right.
It might have been Fraggle Rock.
But like my first like HBO like real HBO drama, I think was like Oz.
Yeah, it may have
you
been.
You think it just how good those shows have been? Like, put it this way: Silicon Valley's good, but it's not as good as Curb. It's not as good as Game of Thrones. It's not as good as. Could you make it an argument that it's as good as Westworld?
Yeah, I think you could.
Yeah.
And Westworld's only had the one season, so
right.
I think you could make a case that it's better. And you know what? Now that I think about it, Fraggle Rock probably should have been on there.
Fraggle Rock got snubbed, if anyone did.
If anybody did. You know who's got a beef? Fraggle Rock.
Yeah.
Dozers. The Dozers.
The Trash Heap.
They're steaming about it. All right, should we get to the news and notes?
Please.
This is actually a nugget that we missed from last week, but Marvel announced some Phase 4 dates for the MCU. I don't have to give you the exact date. I'll just give you the months because it's too many numbers. But July of 2020, May of 2021, July of 2021, November of 2021, and then February, May, and July of 2022. Of course, they still have Avengers Infinity War, Ant-Man versus the Wasp. This does not include, I think, Captain Marvel and maybe another one, maybe even Spider-Man 2. But
this is beyond what they've actually started filming, right?
Yes, yes. So this, I think, is where you will find Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. I'm sure Black Panther 2. I'm sure that'll be in this group.
Oh, yeah.
Any other wild stabs? Any other guesses? Probably another Spider-Man. I know they've already confirmed they're doing a second one, but who knows? Maybe even a trilogy they could do.
Yep. We need... So in my head, you need a transition here. Because Infinity War, people are going to start dropping off.
Yes.
Your contracts are up.
Right.
I don't think, you know, Chris Evans is going to want to play... he's done, technically, after this Infinity War.
Right. Where, there's a lot of scuttlebutt that he could be dead.
Right. But my point is there's a lot of these people you don't think Chris Hemsworth is going to be wanting to play Thor forever?
I don't know. They gave him a haircut, which I think he likes.
Which I think he likes that.
And it's a more comedic character now than it was before. I think he enjoys that. But you're right. These guys aren't going to do him forever.
So there has to be some like transitional movies. Like what if there's like a standalone Iron Man movie that's like a transition?
Like,
you know?
like Bruce to Caitlyn Jenner?
No, where it's like, you know, you maybe introduce Ironheart and
yeah,
you know,
there
pass
you go.
That down to somebody.
Yeah, something like that. Or like Bucky Barnes or Falcon become Captain America.
Right.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be as a Black Widow standalone movie here in here somewhere.
Yeah, it's called Red Sparrow, and it did not do all that well at the box.
Did not do all that well.
No, didn't do particularly well. Yeah, but there's going to be some other ones. Maybe you get like a, maybe you finally get like a Red Hulk movie.
Yeah, yeah, that would be good.
Maybe, like, does Doctor Strange need a sequel? I would say no, but...
Probably not.
No.
Maybe, but Black Panther definitely needs a sequel.
Oh, for sure. They might even trilogy that bad boy. I mean, if you have a Captain America trilogy, a Thor, Iron Man, if all of those guys are getting three movies, Black Panther's probably getting three movies.
How about this? How about I blow your mind right now? I'm going to pitch you a movie idea right now.
All right, let me sit down. Go ahead.
Black Panther, Spider-Man crossover with Kraven the Hunter.
Oh, yeah. I like that a great deal.
You like that?
I like that very much. Yeah.
Yeah.
Kraven the Hunter would be great in this universe. Get him in here. I like that. All right. How about this? I got a little DC news for you. You love DC news, don't you?
I love it. I love it. I love what they're going to do. You know, I find out what they're doing.
The DCEU has had a lot of success. Wonder Woman 2 has cast Kristen Wiig to play Cheetah, who will be the villain in Wonder Woman 2.
You know, this is one of those intriguing casting calls where, like, you're just like, you know, I don't know.
I don't know.
Like, oh, we got the guy who was in Chuck to play Shazam. And you're like, oh, what are you doing?
Did you see the set footage of that, by the way?
Yeah.
It looks fucking terrible.
It looks awful.
It looks so stupid. It looks like an asshole who went to Toys R Us, if they still exist, and was like, do you have a Shazam costume? They're like, yeah, it's in the back. No, 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 go the other way. Yep, there it is. Oh, it's on sale. Perfect. Let me just put this on and go to a birthday party.
Yeah, can you zip me up? Can you zip me up in the back?
They're like, hold on, we got to make sure there's fake muscles in the arms. Okay, there is. Perfect. It looks so bad.
It looks so bad.
But I'm intrigued, though, by Wiig, and I didn't see the movie Mother, but I heard the Boxer's review of it, and apparently Kristen Wiig is in it, and he gets pretty wild.
And she's the highlight of it, so she's got some action chops.
She is. She's more than just comedy, but she'll also always, I think, anything that she's in, she's going to provide a little comedy.
And that's the thing. Like, this is kind of like a serious, kind of a crazy character, so I don't know if you bringing in humor is going to be, like, I can't not look, and this is going to sound bad, but get what I mean. Like, I associate laughter with Kristen Wiig. I was going to say every time I look at her, I laugh.
No,
but that's not what I meant. What I meant
no,
was,
I think
like,
she's
I
quite attractive, to be honest.
Oh, yeah, she is. But, like, you think she's going to be funny and, like, quirky and weird and whatever.
Yeah,
so,
she's
like,
very
that,
funny.
It might not fit. It doesn't really work.
Yeah.
We all said that Heath Ledger was going to be a terrible Joker.
That's right. We did. And we said, not Hugh Jackman, but who Jackman when he was cast as Wolverine. We said who Jackman.
Yeah,
no, we didn't.
That backfired.
How about Jon Favreau is going to write and executive produce live action Star Wars series?
Okay. And do we know what it's going to be on? Is it Netflix?
No,
is it
I don't know.
Is it, what streaming service am I going to have to buy to watch this?
Isn't Disney making their own thing? It might be that.
Yeah, but someone said so. The word I got, it was all of like the R-rated Marvel stuff, or like the harder Marvel stuff is going to Hulu.
Oh, I don't like that.
Yeah, so like Daredevil and Jessica Jones, those are all going to Hulu. Punisher's going to Hulu.
Well,
and everything's going to be off Netflix.
That to me, that hurts Netflix and whether that's worth it every
big
month.
Time.
Like significantly, because I think our demo, like all the people listening to this, like that's. I've had Netflix for a long time. Although when we first started the podcast, I was in and out on it. Because I remember you were yelling at me because I had not seen Daredevil. But since then, like that's one thing where I'm like, hey, if a movie shows up, great. And if like a random series shows up, great. But at least I know every year I'm getting Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, Punisher, Defenders, whatever. I'm going to watch those shows. So if you take all of those out, like what am I doing here? What am I watching?
Well, I think Netflix is now, they're now starting to push their own stuff. You know, and I think whenever Netflix loses The Office, I think there's going to be like a revolt.
Yeah, because they already lost It's Always Sunny. That was that was a kick in the junk.
Mm-hmm.
So, speaking of the Netflix stuff, Jessica Jones season 2 is out. That will be our episode next week. Have you begun?
I have begun. I'm 2 episodes in.
I'm 4, so it's still early on in the process. Not a whole lot is happening.
Not a lot is going on right now.
No, but I like the characters and I like the universe within the universe, but still kind of waiting.
I'm down on Trish Talk right now. I'm down on her.
See, I would listen to Trish Talk, I think.
I would, but I'm down on her right now. I don't like what she's trying to do to Jeff. I don't like it.
No, okay. I hear you. Also, Punisher Season 2 has begun filming. Does that get you rock hard?
I would say we're getting some blood flow, but we're not there yet. You know what I mean?
No, that is, I do know what you mean. That's very well said. Before we get to your portion of the program, did you see this? Fred Durst from Limp Bizkit fame, one of the great front men of all time, is directing a thriller where John Travolta plays an insane stalker of Devin Sawa. It's called Moose, I think.
Yeah, and what got me with this is I read that headline. I think it was on like Twitter or something, and I thought it was going to link me to like an Onion article. Like, there's no like, what universe
legit.
Am I in right now?
It's a
where
real
this
thing
is taking place.
Yeah, it's a real thing.
Yeah, unbelievable.
So, all right, you ready for your thing?
Oh yeah, please.
It's time for Davey's Video Game Minute. Even if it takes more than a minute.
All right, let's have some.
Well, Richard, as you know, this Video Game Minute will eventually be brought to you by Wild Bill Soda.
Oh,
that's Wild
God.
Bill's old style. What's that?
No, I just said, listen, you've given this gentleman a lot of free plugs so far. Has he gotten back to you at all? Because
I have not reached out to him personally yet, but we will.
You need to, because I think, you know, even if it's just getting you a free soda every time we go to a con, I think that's what we need to do.
Yeah, that's all I need, and maybe a T-shirt. But we'll maybe have him make me some, like, Davey's ginger ale, like have my own special brew of ginger ale. Like, because if I can't get my own custom ginger ale, then what has this all been about?
Nothing. It's just been for shit.
It's all been for naught.
Yeah.
If I can't, at the end of this podcast, when we hang up our podcast microphones and telephone headsets, if I don't have my own ginger ale, what have we done?
Nothing. It's been a waste, the whole thing.
Yeah. Well, here's some great news for you, Richard.
Some
good news with a little tinge of bad news.
Oh, no. All right.
So the people, Epic Games, who make Fortnite, the biggest video game in the world right now, have come out and said that we want to do cross-platform game. This game, cross-platform. Anyone, PlayStation, Xbox, PC, phone. Like, if you have anything and you can play Fortnite, you can play with anybody.
Yeah, this is nuts.
Microsoft said, we're on board. iOS, Apple computers, we're on board. And the only sticking point right now, Richard, is PlayStation.
Oh, what are you doing, PlayStation?
Sony's like, they're looking at it right now, but this could be the very first game. It's the biggest game in the world right now. And how do you make the biggest game in the world bigger? You make it the very first true cross-platform game.
Oh, that would be great.
Which then opens the door to so many games. Like, that's standard now.
Yeah, that becomes a thing. Right. Just get in on it.
And while it would hurt console sales a little bit, I don't really think it would. It wouldn't hurt because now I get to keep the console I want to play.
Right.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
I don't have to buy something else to play with my friends. Like, now, for instance, my brother has an Xbox. I have a PlayStation. We've never played competitively. Probably a good thing that we've never played competitively online.
Yeah.
You know, we'll get together for family thing and some punches are thrown.
Yeah,
it's fine. Whatever.
It's a whole mess, really.
But now that's possible. And there are people who are like, we want to do this. And Microsoft, of all people, who has like been the biggest pain in the ass out of any game system, you know, they're like, well, we're in. So that's huge news.
Yeah, that is
for us.
Well, so I guess that's sort of a to be continued, right? Because PlayStation, I wonder what the sticking point is there. They got to budge on that.
They have to.
They're just putting up a stink.
Everyone wants this. It's one of those things like everybody wants this.
Everybody.
Why don't you want this? You know.
Why don't you like nice things?
Yeah. So here's a kind of a cool thing that I just came across by accident. There's a game called Contra 2028.
Oh.
Which is a reimagining. Think of like if Gears of War met Contra.
Oh,
and it was and it was made by 8 students over 8 weeks. And it looks great. It looks like a Gears of War game, but like it's got Contra attached to it and whatever.
I like that.
And it's free. Since they use the name Contra, and Contra is owned by Konami, these kids are just like, take it. It's free. So if you have a Windows computer and have, like, Steam or whatever, you can actually play this game for free.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
And it
actually
looks really good.
Nice.
So there's that.
I like that.
And the last bit of news, you might have, we don't get political here, but you may have heard that the video game industry has come under fire recently.
It sure has.
From the executive branch of our government, who believe that violent video games lead to violent things. And there was a great Wall Street, New York Times article about how it's gaming culture. It's not the games themselves. Because as you know, as a 36, almost 37-year-old man, I've had my mother's morality and my sexual orientation come under fire by 12-year-olds in the gaming community whenever I play online.
Quite a bit, really. Yeah.
Quite a bit.
Yeah.
So that's that. So
I'm shocked that they didn't call you in to testify on this.
They should. Well, they should have. And yeah. Well, one of the things that was actually really cool is this charity called Games for Change put together this reel that shows video games as art and something that's beautiful and whatever. And they use clips from Shadow of the Colossus. They use all these games and they put them together. And it's actually really. I'll tweet this out along with Contra. This cool
nice.
Reel that they showed. To be on the other side of it. And the bitch of it was they had all the censorship people there, they had parents groups there, they had the president there, and the one people they didn't have were these scientists, these social scientists who have come out to defute all of this, these claims.
Oh,
they weren't invited.
Right.
So,
right.
Naturally, they
yeah.
weren't invited.
Nice.
But so there's the video game minute there. Always, eventually going to be brought to you by Wild Bills.
And so. Always, in my mind, more than fairly informative. So thank you very
yeah,
much,
thank you
Ryan.
Very much.
Are you ready now for the topic du jour?
And what is that?
Well, it's the topic of the day. And today, it is worst movies ever.
Yes.
So we're going to go through, and we're going to talk about some of the worst movies that we've ever seen. We're also going to take a look at, this is going to be a helpful guide, I think, the Razzie Awards, which were not too long ago. They have been crowning achievements in worst movie making since 1980. So we're going to go back and look at the worst movie winners, worst picture since 1980. A lot of those will be on our list. But before I do that, let's just sort of get the guideline out here. What to you makes a movie the worst? Because I would just say quickly, there are bad movies, but when they're rewatchable, like they don't qualify as worst. Like the ones that jump out would be Troll 2, The Room, Plan 9 for Outer Space. Like these are so bad that they're good or they have a cult following or whatever. Like to me, a worst movie would be something that you would never want to watch again and you would never recommend to a friend.
Yeah, right. Or something that I found just like no joy in like at all.
Yeah, yes.
You know what I mean?
Right,
like there are some things, like you said, like one of the things that's come, and this is, it was inspired by our friend from the Good Brothers podcast, The Fridge, who wanted us to do this one, so we said, hey, what the hell? But you look at a movie like, say, like Mortal Kombat or Roadhouse.
Yes.
Like those are so bad that they kind of go the other way.
And oh, I like them. Yeah, you end up liking
such a spotlight that's been put on The Room recently.
Yeah.
Or Troll 2, for that matter. Like, those movies are so bad that you actually kind of like them.
Yeah, you're like, there's something. But it's weird because you can watch two different movies, and they can both have just terrible, terrible acting and no story. But I don't know how to explain it. One of them is, like, endearing, and the other one is just a piece of trash. And, like, I know at the end of the day, like, I get it that they're both bad movies. Like, it's very clear. Like, you'd give them 0 or 1 Infinity Stones, and they're just straight-up bad movies. But one of them, I'm like, you got to see this. Like, it's so bad, but you got to watch it. And another one that's, like, when you would watch the Mystery Science Theater 3000 show, a lot of the movies that they played, I would say 80% of those movies that they played, if those guys weren't doing the commentary, you would have zero interest in it. Like there'd be no reason to watch it. But then there's a couple that you're like, this actually might be funny just to watch with my friends on my own.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's fine. But like that doesn't qualify them as like, you know, terrible movies.
Right.
You know?
So feel free, you can tweet us at Dork Podcast. You can email us dorkpodcast@gmail.com. The worst movies you have ever seen. Let's use the Razzies as a little bit of a guide first, and then we'll give, you know, some of our worst that we've ever seen. The first ever winner at the Razzies for worst picture was in 1980. It was a musical comedy called Can't Stop the Music, starring Bruce Jenner, Steve Guttenberg, and the Village People.
Yeah, which is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. And there's a scene with Bruce Jenner.
Bruce Jenner.
Who he's walking down the street with the Village People, and he's got, like, this crop top and, like, these little tiny, like, denim shorts.
Yes.
And it's just, like, this is one of the, I haven't actually seen the whole movie, but I've seen, like, the trailer and parts of it, like, scenes from it.
Yeah.
And it is just something else.
It's a mess. I've never seen it, but I was reading some up on it today, and I was like, yeah, my God. No. So a worthy winner for the first worst picture. 1981, the winner, I was surprised by this, was Mommy Dearest. This is, of course, the Joan Crawford movie with the no wire hangers!
Yeah.
Like that is just, that's, and so it was a book written by Joan Crawford's daughter. And so you don't know exactly how much of this is true or not, but was it Faye Dunaway, I think, playing Joan Crawford?
Yeah.
And I've seen this movie. I don't think it's like the worst movie ever.
It might have been the worst movie that year. And I'm telling you, the people in the wire hanger industry are pissed at this movie.
Yeah. Well, Joan Crawford did not like wire hangers.
No, ever.
No. They're not good for your clothes. They leave more creases in them. I'm actually a big Joan Crawford fan.
Something, I know, because you liked that. What was that show, Feud, that you liked?
Feud I kind of got stale on. I only watched Feud because I liked Joan Crawford so much. I took some film class in college. I took a few, but one of them, we watched Mildred Pierce, which she won the Best Actress for, like in the 40s.
Yep.
What a delight. She was great. And then whatever happened to Baby Jane, because that was really the feud was between her and Bette Davis. I love these ladies. She's a very, very good actress. So I'm all in on Joan Crawford. So maybe I don't think Mommy, although they just shit all over in Mommy Dearest. So what do I know? 1982, it was a movie that I did not see called Inchon.
Inchon. Yeah, this is one of those, like, and this is where it gets sticky for me, because this is a war movie. It's about, was it in the Korean War, where they, you know, whatever. But there's this conception that, like, if it's a war movie, it's good.
No, not the case.
Not the case. Like, that's not the case.
Right.
Like, I don't understand, you know, where automatically, like, here's one that, like, I didn't like. Like, people were like, there's been a run of, like, if you don't like this movie, like, you don't like America kind of movies.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, American Sniper, like, I didn't really like that movie.
Yeah, I thought it was fine.
It was fine.
Right.
Like, it wasn't terrible, but you're just like, not for me. Same with, like, Lone Survivor, like, these, like, kick-ass America movies. Like, I'm not all about these. And if that makes me unpatriotic, I don't think it does.
No, it does not. It does not.
You know what it is, Richard? Because I'm exercising my rights.
Oh, I see. Yeah, let's just put a pin in that right there.
We'll deal with that later.
Well, 1983, The Lonely Lady. I have no notes on that movie.
This is one of the ones I honestly knew nothing about. I know Ray Liotta's in it, but I know nothing about that movie.
Young Ray Liotta.
That way.
So let's skip it. Let's go to 1984, Bolero. Now, this is starring Bo Derek.
Yes.
It is written and directed by husband John Derek. It's a story of a woman, played by Bo Derek, who is traveling the world looking, I think, for the right person to lose her virginity to. That's Bolero.
So let me basically, I'm gonna disagree with you there. Is this the right one? No, it might be the other Bo Derek movie.
There's another Bo Derek on here, which is fantastic, and I can't wait to get to that one. But this one is the virginity one.
I thought Bolero was the one with the bullfighter husband. Anyway, so basically, this movie, I saw this, it was like on HBO or something, like a late night, and basically it's just porn.
Oh, hello.
Yeah. It's just basically porn. Yeah. Starring Bo Derek and her husband at the time. And this was a movie that was put out by Canon Pictures, but if you've ever seen the documentary Electric Boogaloo, by the way, check that out.
Shout out.
Because it's the story of, like, Canon Pictures. And this is one of the movies that they produced, and it's a phenomenal story about how this movie got released.
No, so this, you're talking about Bolero, right?
Yeah.
So this is set in the 1920s. Iyer MacGillivray, played by Bo Derek, is a virginal 23-year-old American who graduates from an exclusive British college. An orphan heiress to a vast fortune, Iyer is determined to find the right man for her first sexual encounter wherever he might be in the world. Rich enough not to venture forth alone, she brings along her best friend, Catalina, and the family chauffeur, Cotton, played by George Kennedy.
Well, anyway, there's a bullfighter involved in this movie. I know there is.
Yeah, that's fine. All right, so 1980.
So bad, we don't even know what the hell it's about. It's that bad.
That's a bad movie. 1985, Rambo First Blood Part 2 gets the
win. I loved this movie when I was a kid, when I was, you know, 7.
Yeah, me too.
It was awesome.
Yeah, so I don't think all these movies are that bad. And this one I would not include in the worst movie ever. How about 1986? We have two winners. Under the Cherry Moon and Howard the Duck.
Okay. So let's take this piece by piece. If Under the Cherry Moon is the worst, first of all, how does Purple Rain? Purple Rain is an awesome movie starring Prince. Under the Cherry Moon, also starring Prince. I don't think it's the worst movie ever, but it's not good.
No. Yeah, I'm with you on that.
And I would say that Howard the Duck is the worst comic book movie ever made.
Yeah, there's a couple others on this list, though, that I think are right in the mix. But it's a bad character. Like, it's like, who cares about Howard the Duck anyway?
And it was George Lucas.
I know, but he looks so bad. Like, you just...
So bad.
He looked ridiculous. Isn't your wife afraid of him?
My wife, she's not. She just doesn't like the look of him. She just doesn't trust it. You know how you... You have those kind of weird things where you just don't like that?
Yes.
Yeah, she's just like, I don't like Howard the Duck. And I made her stay because I knew Howard the Duck was going to show up at the end credits in the first Guardian. So I'm like, you got to stay and watch. Something awesome is going to happen. And she like didn't speak to me the entire way home.
Yeah, but he looked bad.
Why would you have me stay for that? I'm like, because I thought it was funny.
Yeah, I thought it was all right.
Yeah, he had a martini, a little suit on.
Yeah, he was a little, I don't know, what's wrong with that?
Dapper little guy,
But that is a wild ride.
You did see some duck boobies in the anthropomorphic duck boobies in that movie.
Yeah.
In the bath. I remember that.
Some people like that. That's fine.
Or interspecies erotica with him and Leah Thompson.
It's bestiality.
That's exactly what that is.
At its finest.
I prefer to call it interspecies erotica. But
yeah,
that's probably
how you look it up. 1987, yeah. Leonard Part 6. This is a Bill Cosby spy parody.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. There was no Leonard Part 1 through 5, right?
I believe there was not. No, I think that's part. Yeah. That's one of the. They sort of start you out with a joke. They're like, it's Part 6. Just kidding. It's like, I don't know about that. 1988, Cocktail.
See, Cocktail's not a. It's not a great movie by any imagination, but like Tom Cruise is hot. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's late '80s cruise. Like that's a good cruise to latch onto.
That's a good cruise. And Michael Caine.
Oh, it's nice. I don't think that's the worst movie ever. I don't love it by any means.
Oh, and a primo, Elizabeth Shue.
Oh, Elizabeth Shue, hello.
You know what I'm saying?
Am I right?
That's not a bad movie. I don't care. If you put those three people on screen together, that's not a bad movie. You know what? It is a bad movie, but it's not that bad.
It's a bad movie. Now, a shout-out to our friends at the Mac and Goo podcast, as also in 1988, Mac and Me was nominated for the worst picture.
That blows me away. How does Cocktail come away with the Razzie for the worst picture in the same year that Mac and Me is made?
Well,
have you seen Mac and Me?
No, I've not seen.
Oh
Mac
my God! That could be the worst movie on the list.
It might be one of the worst movies of all time. You're right. I listened to Mac and Goo did a whole episode on it, and of course. I've seen the previews of every time Paul Rudd goes to Conan and he would show a clip of Mac and Me. So I'm familiar with it, and that's a hilarious gag that he does, but. I think oftentimes, and you'll see, especially as it goes on in the Razzies, if there's like a big name actor attached, they're going to get a little bit more criticism than not. So they just saw this cruise.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's what it was.
Yeah.
So 1989, Star Trek V, The Final Frontier, one worse.
Oh, and by the way, this is another one where people were pissed that we did not put Star Trek on our TV list.
No, I did. Star Trek was on there.
Yeah, but didn't someone like bitch about it? They're like,
yes.
Where's Star Trek?
I'm like, it's on there. Right. And they're like, oh, those are my favorite ones. The ones people were arguing about snubs, which is fine, seating, which is fine, and then ones who like they just didn't see it. Like they were like really upset. Like how do you not have Lost? It's on there. You can vote for it.
And they'd be like, well, you should have used bigger font. Like they don't like back down, they just like double down.
Yeah, just like enlarge it. bracket. All right. 1990. Again, you have two winners. You have The Adventures of Ford Fairlane. And then you also have Ghosts Can't Do It. Let me tell you about Ghosts Can't Do It.
Is this the other John Derek, Bo Derek movie?
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
They're back at it again. This is the plot to the movie. Scott and Kate are happily married, despite their 30-year age difference. After Scott suffers a heart attack and is unable to make love, he commits suicide and becomes a ghost that only Kate can see and speak with. To make it possible for Scott to return as a human, they conjure up a plan to have a young man drowned so that Scott can take his body. Now, also of note in this movie, Donald Trump played himself and won the Razzie for Worst Supporting Actor.
Can you? The things I've done, I do now is I go through my head like the pitch meeting for this.
It's amazing. Everything
like
about
if you're
it is
sitting
good.
Across the yeah. table, and someone, and you're the person who's making this, who wants to make this movie, and you just explain that to me.
It's amazing. So a 30-year like, age difference. Okay, you already got me something. Something's there.
Like, gross.
Has a heart attack, and the only side effect of his heart attack is that he can't have sex anymore. And
gross.
Because he loves to have sex so bad, he decides to kill himself. And then their plan is, well, she can still see the ghost, but he needs to be able to go inside somebody's body. So they lure some young man into like a pool or something and drown him.
So maybe if you come back in a young man's body, maybe we'll get you some therapy. You know, because you killed yourself because you couldn't have sex. You want to kill somebody else so you can come back and have sex.
Right.
You got there's some issues. Got
to have some sex.
And the woman you're having sex with is like okay with this? Is like cool with it?
I love too that this is the same crew that brought to you Bolero, which we couldn't figure out what it was, but it was basically a woman going around the world trying to lose her virginity. Now you have a case where she's having sex with this guy until he has a heart attack and then he can't do it so he kills himself. I don't
but
know how he killed
that
himself.
Movie, you're like, Bo Derek and Olivia Diabo. Remember her, the older sister from The Wonder Years, and she was in Conan the Destroyer?
Yeah.
She gets naked in it, too. So, you know, we're cool there.
We got to watch this. Ghosts Can't Do It. That might be.
No, we have to.
That might be a full episode. Ghosts Can't Do It.
I might watch it and, like, live tweet it.
That might be a great live tweet.
Yeah.
I just was blown away by the plot to the movie. I have not seen this, but I am very much on board.
And it beat out or tied with a Andrew Dice Clay vehicle.
That's right.
No pun intended with Ford Fairlane. But
that's
like
right.
Andrew Dice Clay's own movie.
Oh, that's great. That's 1990.
Talk about a fucking crash and burn for that guy, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah.
Still rocking the leather jacket, though. He's doing great. So that was 1990. 1991, Hudson Hawk with Bruce Willis actually won Worst Picture.
And 10-year-old me loved this movie.
Yeah.
This was around the time my mom picked up a job at a video store.
Oh, so you were just watching movies left and right.
I was just watching movies left and right. And then, like, the store, remember Suncoast Video? Remember those?
Yes.
So she worked at a Suncoast Video, which was across the street from a Blockbuster. I'm not even kidding.
Bastards.
So Suncoast goes out of business. And then, like, my mom just, like, came, I'm not kidding, with, like, hundreds of VHS tapes.
Oh, my God. It's amazing.
Like, when they went out of business, they were just, like, going to throw them out. So she just, like, bought boxes of movies home. And Hudson Hawk was one of them.
Nice.
And I remember thinking how cool it was, because I love heist movies.
Yeah.
Little known fact about me. I do love a good heist
movie. Did you like the movie Heist?
I did not.
No.
No.
So you like movies about heist, not movies named Heist.
Not movies named Heist.
Got it.
Did
you see
so,
Heist
yeah.
2?
So this was a good like caper, and it was kind of quirky, but now I watched it again recently, and I say recently like 5 years ago, and I'm like, yeah, I can see why people hated this.
Yeah, it was not great.
It's so fucking goofy. Like, the whole thing was just goofy.
Yeah, it's a little slappy. It's a little... Yeah,
a little slappy pappy. But like the one thing I did like is when him and Danny Aiello would like, all right, we have to do this in 3 minutes and 27 seconds. Like, what song can we sing?
Right.
That's that exact time, and they're like, "Mac the Knife" or whatever it was. You know what I mean? Like, swinging on a Star or something like that. They're like, all right, got it. And they would like do it to music, which I thought was really cool.
Yeah, it's not bad. 1992, Worst Picture was Shining Through. It was a World War II drama with Michael Douglas and Melanie Griffith.
Skip that.
Yep. Past that. 1993, Indecent Proposal.
Surprising.
I didn't think this movie was that bad. Again, it's not like you're going to own the movie. It's not like you're going to tell everybody to go see it, but a pretty interesting premise. The acting, I didn't think was terrible. I was very fine with Indecent Proposal.
Yeah, I was. And I think that the premise of the movie is really good, and the execution was a little bit off. I thought that, like, that's a cool, like, 20-minute short film that they stretched into, like, an hour and a half, hour
and
40 minutes.
Yeah, that's true.
Which is, like, the whole thing with the husband. Like, was it Woody Harrelson was the husband?
Yeah, Woody Harrelson, Demi Moore, and Robert Redford, I believe.
Robert Redford.
Yeah.
Like,
so that's the age-old question. So would you let your wife spend a night, including sexually, with another man for $1 million? And that was also in 1993, so let's call it $10 million now.
Call it 10 now. And I think that probably caused a lot of like marital fights at some point, like just the idea of this.
And see, I think
like 10 mil.
Yeah, who's the guy, I guess? Like, if it's Robert Redford, I'd probably say, sure. And I know that my wife would be like, yeah, it's $10
million. I'd be like, $10 million, what do you care? And I'd be like, you know what, I'll punt. Like that's the one I'm like, I'm not making that decision. Like, you make that decision.
But so if she said, if your wife said yes, you would sign off on it?
Oh, so you're putting me, you're painting me into a corner. You put me in a corner here. I don't know what I'm supposed to do.
See, I don't.
But 10 mil's 10 mil. So I get
$10 million, and it's one night. I would make sure the gentleman is clean, and you would also have to make sure that there's no way that she's going to get like pregnant or hurt.
So, yeah, and I would sign, you know, a thing like afterwards, like a not a restraining order, but like a cease and desist or like no contact order.
Yeah, you're gone.
Like after that, you're done. Like, yeah, you can't have any contact.
Yeah, you don't talk
again to
her.
But yeah, I would make sure my lawyer's there. You know, yeah. we'll handle the paperwork.
Right,
you know?
Right. Because yeah, it could be pretty slippery if all of a sudden then he starts texting her and then she falls in love with him. It becomes a whole. You're like, and then she just takes the money back and then you're left with literally nothing.
Yeah. Then I'm hosed.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I kind of go back and forth on that one.
But hey, a spirited debate though.
It is. It's a good. It's a lot of fun, gang. 1994. Yep. The movie was Color of Night, starring Bruce Willis and Jane Marsh. And how about this little nugget on Color of Night? According to Maxim magazine, which I don't know if it even still exists, they said that in Color of Night, there is the best sex scene in film history.
See, I've heard that before, but I've never actually seen this movie.
I have not seen it, and I know right now Mac from Mac and Goo has just paused the podcast, and he is searching for this right away. It is Color of Night. I will also be looking this up shortly. Best
Mac
sex scene.
From Mac and Goo is probably the only person with a paid subscription to Mr. Skin.
He's like, Color of Night? Here we go. That's got to be...
I could see him doing like the knuckle crack, like the pushing the hands away from his chest thing. Like, yeah. You know, here we go.
Here we go. I guess I'm Googling Color of Night, Bruce Willis. Here we go. So it's funny that it goes from the best sex scene in film history into these next two back-to-back winners. 1995, Showgirls. 1996, Striptease.
Which both of them, what a letdown. Like 14 and 15-year-old me.
Yeah.
What a letdown.
I'll tell you what. Yes, a letdown would be one way of putting it. I guess 11-year-old me, or no, wait, how old was I? Yeah, 11-year-old me for Showgirls was like, wow, you know, Saved by the Bell is taking a turn. And then 12-year-old me, I was like, Demi Moore is the greatest thing ever. I was like, the movie itself, like the whole premise of it is ridiculous, and Burt Reynolds is ridiculous. But the couple of scenes with Demi Moore, like the one where she's on the boat dancing, like hello.
Oh, that was a good one.
I am
but the thing
on
is,
that.
you only see her topless for like 10 seconds in the whole movie.
Yeah, there's a lot of pausing.
There's a lot of pausing. A
lot of pausing. Yeah. It'd make for some great GIFs.
Oh, yeah.
GIFs.
I'm sure those are
gifts,
out there.
Not with a T.
Q Mac again.
Q Mac's like, hey, we're going to get those sent to us right away. Showgirls, a dump of a movie. Definitely the worst movie ever. However, I've probably seen it more than once, so I can't put it down as the worst movie ever.
No, I can't, because that's one of those ones that's so bad that you're like
you've got to watch this.
You have to watch it.
Gina Gershon bringing it.
Oh,
yeah.
She's like 60 and she can still get it.
She really can. She can get it more than anybody else in that whole movie. How about the ferocity of Elizabeth Berkley in the pool?
I thought she was having a seizure, like legitimately. Like I thought that was like they just caught it and like, all right, we'll use that.
And I don't want to be crass, but I thought she was going to break it off.
Oh yeah, and the other thing too is you got to worry people. That's how people get stuck together, Richard.
Is that true?
You create enough of a vacuum and enough suction. That's water you're dealing with. That's how people get stuck.
Wow, that would be unfortunate for sure. Yeah, that was. I mean, there's some intense scenes there in Showgirls. Wow. All right, 1997, The Postman wins. That is a Kevin Costner directed and starring film. It's like a post-apocalyptic thing. And that same year, Batman
where he's
and
delivering mail.
He's a mail guy. Batman and Robin was nominated that same year, which is a terrible, terrible movie.
Which I think, you know, Batman and Robin, like you could give it cult status. It's not though. It's just that bad. Like it's not even so bad that it's clever.
Now there obviously are like Mr. Freeze and Poison Ivy with their ridiculous catchphrases and things give it like a little bit of a cult thing, but it's just such shit. I don't.
Oh, so bad.
Yeah, I can't put it in there. 1998, an Alan Smithy film, Burn Hollywood Burn. I guess it's like a mockumentary. I've never seen it.
No clue.
1999, Wild Wild West, which was that was so bad from the get-go. This definitely deserves to be worst movie ever. I saw this in the theater when I was in like eighth or ninth grade, whatever it was. This is a piece of shit.
And what makes it kind of awesome now is if you saw like the What Happened to Superman Lives
documentary. This part helps it, but it's still terrible.
It helps it. So like the guy who was spearheading the new Superman, Tim Burton's Nicolas Cage Superman movie, was like adamant that they wanted to do a Brainiac with like, you know, there was this whole thing how Superman was going to come back.
It was John Peters was the producer.
Right. And his whole thing was like, we need a giant spider. And Kevin Smith and whoever, they brought in like teams of writers, and Kevin Smith and like Tim Burton are like, what the fuck is with the spiders? You know what I mean?
Yeah, then, I don't really get it. Like, that's not really what we have here.
So they kill that movie, and then the movie he then focuses on is Wild Wild West, which the big bad thing in the movie is a giant mechanical spider.
It's just so insane. Like, that guy like was like, yeah, I don't care what you do, but like I need this in there. And you're like what?
I need a big spider. And they're like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Like, you need a big spider? And then so they got it. And that movie is so bad.
Ugh. Piece of crap.
Now, it did inspire one of the greatest songs ever written, Wild Wild West by Will Smith. So.
Sure did. Clean rapping, too. He's rapping about respect and, you know, whatever he happens to be doing that day.
Will Smith doesn't have to cuss in his albums to sell records.
But you know what pisses me off about that? Is like he's like this clean rapper, and the funniest part of any Bad Boys movie is when he opens, like Martin Lawrence, the kid comes to date Martin Lawrence's daughter.
Oh, he's just MFing him up and down.
Oh, and call it like hard R's and like it was the funniest thing that Will Smith had ever done.
No, he swears in movies, but he doesn't swear when he raps. It's really mind-boggling.
It doesn't make any sense to me.
Now, also that same year, Star Wars Episode I: A Phantom Menace was nominated, and I think that one definitely belongs on the list. Although when you're in like a shared universe or when you're in like a series of movies, I don't know. Like I've seen it more than once. Like there are some just terrible parts of it, like between Jake Lloyd and Jar Jar, it is just a piece of trash. But then you have like Darth Maul and you have young Obi-Wan, and you're like, well, I kind of have to watch it at the very least. So
and things like midichlorians are now something you're born with, so you can't just like develop the Force.
Not great.
Yeah, but I love the theory, the Jar Jar theory, that he's actually working with the Sith. That's why he keeps like screwing things up. Like if you watch it from that angle and just assuming that he's a bad guy, like the movies. Actually watchable. Because then remember he shows up in the Senate like two movies later and he's like completely competent?
Well, no, there's this, but then there's also the theory that he is like a Jedi and that's why like and he has like the drunken style or whatever, and that's why like when he's on the battlefield he's like stepping on the gun and it's like working right, but he's doing it all on purpose.
Yeah, I know.
It's crazy. 2000 is Battlefield Earth. That's one of the all-timers with John Travolta.
And now this is like an all-time like bad movie.
Yes.
Like this isn't like, well, I saw it and I thought it sucks. Like, critically, like across the board,
everybody hates this movie. Everybody
and
hates
it's because
Battlefield Earth.
They took it so seriously.
Right.
Like they thought that this was going to be like the next big thing. And John Travolta looks fucking ridiculous.
Right.
Forrest Whitaker looks ridiculous. I've actually seen this movie and it's worth the price of admission. Like, it's so bad that you need to. I feel like you need to. It's not like you. It's so bad that you watch it and you laugh. It's so bad you watch it and you get pissed.
That's a tough. And you don't need to be doing that, watching a movie, just getting pissed off. That's not good. 2001. We've talked about this on the podcast. This movie, I think, is actually hilarious. Freddy Got Fingered. Awesome movie. I really, really like it. It's just there's so many kind of gross out scenes that critics lost their minds and they didn't realize just how funny it was. But I'll defend this movie forever.
And again, this is when, you know, Tom Green is like A-list.
Yeah, he was killing it.
Time.
He was really good.
He was killing it.
Yeah.
The Tom Green Show was like one of the most like absurdly progressive comedy shows on TV. Like he's walking around. Like he's probably one of the first like viral stars like in the world. You know, with like making.
Oh yeah,
like,
probably yeah.
And they just fucking wrote him a blank check and were like, "Go make a movie, write it, star it, direct it, all you."
And I think he did a great job.
Let him do what he wanted.
I think he did a great job, and I loved it.
How many LeBarons?
I owned it.
Out there?
How many LeBarons, Freddie? I only see one LeBaron. Look at it. It says number one son. It says number one son on the license plate. I'm the number one son. The best. All right. We got 2002, Swept Away. This is a Madonna movie.
And, this is her cucking her then-husband Guy Ritchie into making a movie with her, and what a piece of trash.
Piece of trash. Attack of the Clones, Episode 2 of Star Wars, was also nominated, but did not win.
Not that bad. That one wasn't that bad.
Yes, it was. Attack of the Clones?
I think Phantom Menace is worse.
No, but those are both shit. Revenge of the Sith is not bad. The other one and two are trash. 2003, this is the Giggly or the G-Lee or whatever, the Ben Affleck, Jennifer Lopez movie, which
this got
ripped apart.
Oh, yeah, because they were dating at the time. And
they were a hot couple. Bennifer was a hot couple.
Yeah, and he was a drunk at the time.
Yeah, he was.
You know, not his best performance.
They showed one time, they were sitting front row at Fenway Park, and you could not have seen two people look more miserable than Affleck and Lopez front row. Like, they looked like they hated being there. It looked like they hated each other. It was like they looked terrible.
Well, I'm telling you, what inning did they take that picture is what I want to know. Because if it's after the seventh, you know Affleck is pissed off.
Yeah.
Because they're no longer selling beers.
That's probably a good point.
Yeah.
2004, Catwoman. This might be the worst
comic book movie of all
time.
But this has the basketball scene is laugh out loud funny.
It is laugh out loud funny. But when you're watching it for the first time, you're just like, what is happening right now? Like, they're playing basketball? Yeah. Like, what is this?
Like, they're in Gotham City, but, like, there's no mention of Batman, like, ever.
Benjamin Bratt.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just the Halle Berry costume, too. You're like, where did they find this? What is? I mean, she looked great, but it was like, this is ridiculous.
How is that functional?
It is not. 2005, Dirty Love was a movie written and starring Jenny McCarthy. I've never seen this.
And it's bad. It is bad. Her and Carmen Electra.
That's right. Carmen Electra's also in it.
Yeah.
2006 is Basic Instinct 2. Now, Basic Instinct, the first one, is actually a very good movie. I like it a lot. I know it's sort of like in pop culture, it's all just about the scene where Sharon Stone like crosses and recrosses her legs. Like, that's all that people care about. But it's actually like a good movie. It's kind of scary. It's a bit suspenseful. Basic Instinct 2, less so.
Less so. And again, this is at least 20 years. Oh, no.
Yeah, 92. I think it was 92 was Basic Instinct 1.
So 15 years, 14 years after that one?
Yeah. Like, the appetite was not there. She was back. It was also the dude who played the governor in Walking Dead. He was in it. It was not very good.
Not good.
Oh, speaking of best sex scenes in movies, again, Color of Night is the answer. Basic Instinct has some really good ones, too.
Yeah, that's Sharon Stone. Boom. Back in the day.
2007 is a movie called I Know Who Killed Me, starring Lindsay Lohan. I don't know that one.
Yeah, that one, she was in the depths of her, this was supposed to be like a comeback movie for her.
Yeah, it wasn't.
It was not.
Spoiler.
Spoiler alert. And she played like a stripper or something like that? Was it this one?
No, you're thinking of Ghosts Can't Do It, starring Bo Derek.
Sorry.
2000, let's see, where are we? 8, the Love Guru with Michael Myers.
This is just terrible.
Like, yeah, it's rough.
I've never seen a comedian or a funny person lose it as fast as Mike Myers did.
It's so weird because Mike Myers had, you're right. Like, he had some of the best stuff. Like, he was like the Austin Powers movies. I don't think people really truly appreciate how funny they were or are.
Yeah.
Like, they get kind of lost in the shuffle. Between them and Wayne's World, you're like, this guy's the man. And So I Married an Axe Murderer. I loved that movie.
The movie's great.
All right. So Love Guru.
But that's more like a cult great. That's not like critically great.
That's a cult great. 2009, Transformers: Revenge of the Fallen.
Which one is this in line? Is this like the fourth one or like the third one?
2009. That's got to be like the third.
It's like the third or fourth.
I don't know the answer. I know that the first one was fine in my mind, and then after that, I kind of lost track. 2010 was The Last Airbender.
Which was, almost killed M. Night.
That's right. But M. Night's back. Yeah.
M. Night's back in a big way.
Split.
Split was awesome.
2011, Jack and Jill. So you knew Adam Sandler was going to get on this list.
But you knew he was going to, and this, it surprises me that this is the first of all Adam Sandler movies to make this list.
Yeah, it is.
He just turns out, but the problem is
he had a lot nominated though. Like even like Big Daddy, who like a lot of people liked, like that was nominated. Like a ton of his
turns
are nominated.
Out just dump after dump of a movie, but people
mostly
love
dumps.
Them.
Yeah,
it is the movie equivalent of The Big Bang Theory. Like that's exactly what this is.
Yeah, it helps. It's like he's carved out that PG-13 and under like kind of crowd now. Like he started with some of those R movies. Like Bulletproof was really good too that nobody talks about. But there was a lot of good Sandler movies early, and then all of a sudden he's doing these family ones, and people are just eating them up. And like nobody else is really doing too many like family comedies like consistently. So he's got that market cornered.
And people get mad at me all the time because I will say up and down that Adam Sandler has never made a good movie. Like, ever. Like, now you could say that, like, well, Happy Gilmore, like, The Waterboy. Like,
yeah, Billy Madison?
They're funny, but they're not good movies.
What about the one that he was in?
Don't even, you say Punch Drunk Love right now, I'm going to hang up the phone.
No.
Don't talk to me about Punch Drunk Love.
What was the one that he was in with Don Cheadle about the Twin Towers?
Oh, Rain Over Me or something
Yeah, something like that.
Like that.
I don't know if that was good or not. People,
it was not good.
What about Spanglish? People liked Spanglish.
Oh my God, I hated Spanglish. I hated that movie.
I was so distracted watching Spanglish because I'm like, is that Penelope Cruz? Is that Penelope
Cruz?
No,
it's not.
But the whole movie.
Paz Vega?
Yeah, Paz Vega. The whole movie, I'm like, it looks like Penelope Cruz, but it's not her. So I didn't know. I couldn't follow.
That's like White People Problems, the movie.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like this guy who's like this 5-star chef and his wife's really successful, but they just can't figure it out. Like, fuck you. Like, whatever. You know what I mean? Like, your problems are not problems.
No, that's a good point. I would argue with you, though. I think Billy Madison is a good movie, start to finish.
Billy Madison is not a good movie.
Start to finish. What else is there? That's My Boy.
Oh,
51st Dates. Line.
No. Yeah, no, you could just go on forever and ever. What's the one it's always Adam Sandler in a tropical or exotic location, which is basically just a paid vacation for like him and his friends and his family.
What about Airheads? Airheads is good.
No, it's not.
All right.
No, it's the long. And again, what I'm saying is like the movies can be funny.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
but
they
not
are.
Good.
Not like a good movie.
Like Super Troopers is a funny movie. It's not a good movie. But it's a fucking funny movie.
So what funny movie is also a good movie to you?
The Big Lebowski?
Yeah, okay.
Final Tap?
All right, so those are good movies. Okay. What about?
I would even say Caddyshack is a little uneven.
What about Old School?
Old School's a... I would put... It's a decent movie. Real funny movie, though.
But you'd put, like Swingers and Maid would be, like, good movies.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
2012, The Twilight Saga, Breaking Dawn Part 2. That was a hunk of shit. I watched this whole series. I think my wife was reading the books, so we watched them, and this was like particularly bad.
Well, this is one of those things, like it was like 50 Shades of Grey before 50 Shades of Grey. Like it was just a hunk of shit.
With vampires. It's 50 Shades with vampires.
And it's like you go back and look at it now, and it's just like mental abuse. Like, you know what I mean? It's
I hated it.
It's horrible. Like, it's just a terrible idea. And the whole, like, overarching, like church thing that they had going on, like, it's just fucking weird.
Well, and it's like,
people were so into this. I never got this. I never understood this whole phenomenon.
Yeah, me neither. And I also, like, even with some of these ones that might not be targeted towards, like, us, like, you know, like, 30-year-old or whatever the hell, however old we were when these came out, like dudes, there's at least like a character or two that you kind of latch on to, like whether it's a guy or a girl, you're like rooting for somebody. And in this whole series, I'm like, I don't like anybody. Like they're like, are you team Jacob or are you team Edward? I'm like, I'm not team anybody. Like I hate all these characters. They all stink.
Yeah. And not only that, but like, I'm sure there's someone, as my wife would say, there's a lid for every pot, but I find Kristen Stewart to be the least likable person I have ever seen put on film.
I thought she was really good as Jodie Foster's son in Panic Room.
Oh. But like,
come on, just having a little bit of fun.
When she smiles, it looks like it hurts her.
Yeah, she's not big into smiling. She's not Buddy the Elf.
The lower lip biting thing, it's just so weird.
Yeah, I don't like her at all. 2013, movie 43. And so this was one of these weird movies where there was a million different storylines, they had a lot of different directors, like a million different actors. It was like all kind of just different stories. There's not
what
a lot of movies
would call
like this.
Vignettes?
Yeah, I guess. And so that won that. 2014, this seems like a winner. I've not seen this movie. It is called Saving Christmas. Kirk Cameron plays himself in what is dubbed a faith-based Christmas comedy film.
Yeah, and it's the ball's on this guy lately, huh?
Yeah. Kirk Cameron.
Christ.
Yeah, Kirk Cameron. Yeah. So add that to the list.
If you're into that kind of thing, like, fine.
Yeah.
Like, but keep it to yourself, Kirk.
All right. 2015, another one of these years where we had dual winners. We had 50 Shades of Grey and the most recent Fantastic Four movie with Michael B. Jordan, which, again, like Catwoman, like Howard the Duck, I think all three of those were 16 seeds 2 years ago when we did Dork Madness, best comic book movie. Like, that, it is just so bad. And you're watching it, and you're like, this is the Fantastic Four. And on top of it, you have really good actors in it. And it was just
really
like the story was a bag of crap, and there was like no action. Dr. Doom didn't show up until like the end. There was really nothing happening. That movie is really, it's one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
And you said, like if you haven't seen this movie, Rich, and I know you have, but like people say, oh, the Dr. Doom didn't show up at the end. He didn't show up until the last 10 minutes of the movie.
Yeah, right.
The movie's 2 hours long.
At least.
didn't show up until the last 10 minutes, and they're like, they just miraculously, the team's been apart for like most of the movie.
Yeah, I just
like, they weren't even a team until like 15 minutes left of the movie, and then they just dispatch him very easily.
Yeah, I just, you know, I watched it once, and I hated it so much. But this actually might be, there's a couple on this list that might be funny standalone episodes, or at the very least, some good live tweeting, and this could be one of them. We could do Fantastic Four. We got to do Ghost Can't Do It.
Yeah.
And maybe a couple of others on this list. Also, to wrap up, the last two Razzie Award winners for Worst Picture. In 2016, it was Hillary's America, The Secret History of the Democratic Party. So it was like one of those movies where they just...
like conspiracy movies?
Yeah, they just like rip the Democrats. But also nominated that year was Batman v Superman.
Which, not... it's not good, but that's not terrible.
Yeah, I wouldn't include... like, it's frustrating. It was maybe the most disappointing movie...
I would say that's a great word for it. It's not bad. It's just I'm not mad.
That's right. Right.
I'm just disappointed.
And then this most,
it could have been so good.
Yeah, I mean the expectation was through the roof, and then it was just the same with like Suicide Squad. Like Suicide Squad is, I understand now, it is a bad movie. I will admit that.
Yeah.
But when you're comparing it to like Battlefield Earth and some of these other ones, I'm like, whatever. Like if Suicide Squad was on again, I would watch it. Well, for free and. If I had nothing else to do, I'd watch it.
Yeah, there was literally nothing else going on.
There's like at least a couple of redeeming qualities. Like Harley Quinn is like a redeeming quality in the movie. I thought
Deadshot was fine in that movie.
And then the most recent winner is the Emoji Movie, which came out last year.
Which I've seen reviews of this movie. I have not seen it. And thankfully, my children have not asked me to watch it.
Oh, perfect.
But I'm told it is just like... irredeemable. Like, there's nothing about this movie that's good.
So, that's a full list. Those are all the Razzie Award winners, and those are certainly some of the worst movies of all time. But for you, like, when somebody asks you, they're like, Ryan Davey, movie expert, what is the worst movie or the worst movies, if you want to give me a couple, that you have ever seen?
And this is what I go back to. Like, I was thinking about this when you wrote this in the rundown, and I was like, I have a really hard time thinking about this because a lot of the movies that I would consider like my least favorite movies are movies that are just letdowns. Like, people pump them up so much, and then I watch them, and I'm
like, the disappointing angle sucks. More so than it just it
like,
sucks.
Like, I get more disappointed. Like, one of the movies that and I don't know why, but the very first movie, when you say that to me, the thing that pops into my head is Avatar.
Yeah, and Avatar is kind of like is wildly overrated.
Wildly overrated, and it's one of those movies that like it's, and when someone said it's just Pocahontas, it, like it's this legitimately the story of Pocahontas.
It's Pocahontas meets Fern Gully.
Yeah, and it's just like I've seen this before, and visually that movie is phenomenal. You know what I mean? Like it's so good, but it's not that good of a movie.
Right.
And you know what the other one, like there's other movies too that like I get that people like, one of the ones I hear a lot is people like, I argue with people a lot. A lot of people hate Napoleon Dynamite.
No, come on.
No, they do. And I think it's just because like it's just so weird. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's weird. I mean, I think just like, you know, when you look on Rotten Tomatoes, like a lot of the worst movies are either comedies or horror movies because those are the two types where you're either all in or you're all out on it. And some of the other ones, there's like way more room for gray area. Like, oh, there's a drama. You're like, yeah, I didn't love it, but whatever. That's what it was. But like a horror movie, like to me, some of the worst movies I've ever seen, and I've seen a ton of horror movies, are just that, in that genre. So one of the worst that I saw, I still remember seeing it. We've talked about this in the podcast before, but like the late 90s, early 2000s boom, where it was like, after Scream, let's just make a horror movie. Like, they're cheap to make, and people love them. This movie came out in 2002, Fear.com. Stephen Dorff is in this. Yep. I don't know if you ever saw this. It is the it's the biggest piece of shit horror movie I've ever seen in my life. And I've seen The Lazarus Effect, which I did a hot garbage for the guys over at the Boxers podcast. That's a dump. The Happening with the M. Night Shyamalan movie, The Happening, that is a piece of garbage. So those are some of the ones I would include. But for some reason, Fear.com like always pops into my head as one of the worst. I also think if you get like Halloween 6 or I'm trying to think like one of the Friday the 13th, like Nightmare on Elm Street 2, like a lot of the like these ones that have pumped out like 10 movies, if you find the worst one in that series, chances are it deserves to be on the list of like worst movies ever.
Okay, so I have an answer for you though. I have it.
All right.
My least favorite movie of all time, I actually have an answer for this. You ready for it?
I am ready.
Scarface.
Oh, well done.
That is my least favorite, and it's because...
Well played.
So many people like that movie, and it fucking sucks. Like, that movie sucks. Like, I might be a hot, chilly hot take. It might be. But
I don't like it at all.
The first 40 minutes of that movie is good. The last 20 minutes of that movie is pretty good. The middle, like, 2 hours fucking sucks. It sucks. Sorry for my language. I know it's a family podcast.
Yeah, a little bit. But that's all right. That's understandable.
Terrible movie.
It's not a good movie. I'm with you. Another one I would put on there is called Sweet Sweetback's Badass Song.
Excuse me?
Yeah, it's like a black exploitation movie. Is it Marvin Van Peebles or Mario Van Peebles? And it came out like the early 70s, I believe. I watched it in black cinema in college. And it's they have a kid. And so it's actually Van Peebles, who directs and directs and is in the movie, his son, who I think later became a director in real life.
Yes.
He casts him as like a 10-year-old boy having sex with like this big fat prostitute like at the beginning of the movie. I think somebody might also kill a dog. Like, there's just so much shit.
Oh, that would just put you right over the
edge. Yes, I'm already out. But it's terrible. Like, and it's one of those ones that's critically, I think people are like, wow, like it did a lot. I'm like, I don't care, man. Like I understand it's important. I think it may have had like an all black cast or maybe an all black like crew or whatever it was, that's really important. But the movie they put out themselves, I hated it. Like, I hated the movie.
I got another one for you.
Yes.
Pootie Tang.
Pootie Tang. That's not a good movie.
Not a good movie. Written by Louis C.K.
Yeah. That's right.
Can you believe that?
Is right. Yeah, that's crazy. What about anything with Rob Schneider?
That brings it back to Sandler, because all of his movies are like Happy Madison produced. Like, they're all Sandler movies.
Yeah.
There was a movie that Rob Schneider was in that I actually... you know what? It's a bad movie, but I actually kind of like it. Is The Benchwarmers?
Yeah, that one's fine. It is what it is.
It's so stupid. It's so stupid that it's good.
So also, like...
Secretly, I would love to be those, like, me, you, and Bessie, to, like, the three of us take on, like, Little League teams. I legitimately think we would win.
That would be a lot of fun.
That would be a lot of fun.
That'd be very enjoyable for everybody. So there you go. Worst movies ever. I think that's a pretty good list. It's a pretty good list. I know we missed some. So, again, at Dork Podcast on Twitter or dorkpodcast@gmail.com for a little more. Anything else on worst movies ever?
There's a lot of bad ones out there. And again, I would say that, you know, your taste in bad movies says a lot about you. It says more about you than your taste in good movies, I would say.
It is. I think it's a funnier question, or it's a question. I know it's like a loaded question, like, what's your favorite movie? But people usually at least have like a short list ready to go.
And not only that, but like if someone says, what's your favorite movie? You could just say The Godfather, and people would be like, okay.
Yeah, oh, good answer. Oh, yeah, Godfather's great. Oh, yeah, you like Godfather? That's great.
Oh, cool.
But then if you're you're like, what's the worst movie you've ever seen? People are like, whoa. Man.
Cool World.
Cool World was a bit of a dump. How about Rocky V?
Rocky with Tommy the Machine Gun. With, God rest his soul.
Pick of the Pod. Yeah.
Pick of the Pod. Yeah.
That'd be pretty good.
Pick of the Pod.
Pick of the Pod.
Pick of the Pod.
Pick of the Pod.
Oh, let's get to the Pick of the Pod, Ryan. Would you like to kick, receive, defer, defend a goal?
I will kick.
I will receive this week. You know what show I'm not completely caught up on, but I figured it was getting really good reviews. Actually, it was getting kind of mixed reviews, but critically, it was like 100% of Rotten Tomatoes. Fan vote, I think, was more in the 60s. I already said you can't watch everything, and there are a zillion comic book TV shows. But I ended up going back. I watched the first, I think, four episodes of Black Lightning from the CW.
Really?
Not bad.
All right.
Kind of enjoyable. Like, it's not a get out and watch it, like a must watch. But if you're looking for something to watch and you can kind of binge a couple episodes at once, like, I'm not watching this thing weekly, but I think I'm going to let them pile up and then go back and watch a few. I kind of was pretty entertained by Black Lightning.
I'll check it out. You know what I can't get past, though?
What?
This is a weird, obscure movie reference. No. In Major League 2, Willie Mays Hayes stars in a movie with Jesse Ventura called Black Hammer, White Lightning.
Oh, my goodness. That, of course,
The Omar Epps version, yeah. I cannot help but draw comparisons to Black Hammer, White Lightning when I think of Black Lightning.
That's very understandable and fair.
So, I'm sorry, but that is...
Apology, you know, accepted.
Yeah.
Do you have a pick?
My pick of the podcast this week, I've mentioned it on this before, but if you're into bad movies and bad cinema, and you want to learn how a movie like Bolero gets made, there's a movie on Netflix called Electric Boogaloo. It's the story, I swear to God, it's the story of Canon Pictures, which is like these two guys from Israel who just came to Hollywood and started like producing movies. They're responsible for Bolero. They're responsible for Break-In and Break-In 2, Electric Boogaloo.
Nice.
As well as like any Jean-Claude Van Damme movie.
Nice.
The movie Over the Top, like all these like terrible movies. If you want to like learn how these movies actually got made, check that movie out. It's fascinating and hilarious at the same time.
I love it. That's a very good pick of the pod. Next week on Hashtag Dork, Jessica Jones, Season 2, Electric Boogaloo.
Oh, yeah.
Get in there. Early reviews are in, and it's an eh.
It's an eh.
It's waiting for something to happen.
Yep.
All right. You can rate, review, and subscribe on the iTunes. Hashtag Dork. We appreciate that. Or everywhere else, if your friends are saying, hey, I need to listen to a podcast, recommend the podcast. Stitcher, Google Play, WEEI.com, wherever podcasts are found, I think we are there. Twitter, all month long, voting on the third annual Dork Podcast, or Dork Madness. Figure out what the best TV show is of all time. You can email us. We're on YouTube as well. Just go to youtube.com/dorkpodcast. You can also stream Davey playing video games at
@rvond on Twitch and Twitter and any social media. Come at me.
Nice. All right, that's it.
Add me on Snapchat. Put me on Snapchat. Whatever,
Hey, did you end up starting an Instagram?
I did. We do have a Dork Podcast Instagram. We have yet to upload any pictures to it, but we are squatting on the domain, so no one else can take it.
So feel free to add us there as well. All right, Ryan, that's going to do it. Thank you.
Oh, God bless you.